I'm just listening to see where I should speak today. There's a part of me that resists trying to preach about what I'm going through, just because I don't want to give too much credit to going through stuff. You're just supposed to go through stuff, you know. You're not supposed to dwell on it too much. But I can't tell you how many people have contacted me as I've been teaching about me going through my thing, have reached out and thanked me for talking about it. And partly it's because of the religion I've been talking about that basically comes from a standard of conquering, that we are conquerors, that if you believe, you're a conqueror. And that means, and it leads to the idea of any struggle, any battle, any weakness, any failure is a sign that you don't believe. And there's a truth that Jesus has already conquered the devil. How many, everyone say amen. Someone say amen to, we have authority over the devil. But there is a place in God where you get to choose how far into him you're going to go on this earth. Now, in heaven, it will all be the same. There'll be, you know, there's, you know, no sinners in heaven. You know, there's no failures in heaven. You know, the worst guy that gets saved on his deathbed, you know, drunk, wife abuser, child abuser, molester, whatever you want to call it, lives his whole life, dies, and gets saved, the last breath will be just as glorified as you are when you get to heaven. So in heaven we're all equal, but on this earth we get to choose how far into God we live, which includes how much you are willing to participate in with his kingdom on this earth, or how little. You know, there's people who get born again. They go to church once, they get born again, and they'll make it to heaven. They don't go so far off into sin or whatever that they lose their salvation, but they never touch helping God in the kingdom on this earth. Then there's people who are wanting to not deal with their flesh, you know, because your flesh wants to participate with God as long as you don't kill it. You know, your flesh wants to go to church. You know, your flesh will let you worship God. Your flesh will let you do whatever you want with God. Just don't mention mortification. You know, that's why I always cheer whenever Gary teaches on fasting, you know. You know, because it's amazing. Some people can skip a meal or two and not think about it, but the day they fast, 10 minutes, they're like, oh, I'm starving. It's because their flesh is like, no way, man. You can skip a meal to get skinny, but you can't skip a meal to mortify. See? Anyways, we get to choose how far into God we go. And there's a group that wants to justify the flesh, which is basically, hey, you're good now, go. You're good just the way you are. You're born again. Quit trying to change. Just go and touch the world. And the worst thing you can do is have an evangelist, a real full-blooded evangelist, get up behind the pulpit. A full-blooded evangelist is not a guy who travels for money. I have friends who are full-blooded evangelists, and they can't stand being in church. They're out right now, this Sunday morning, they're out on the Skid Row of Houston feeding the poor, trying to get people saved. They're out soul winning. These are guys who run into people who are ready to be saved. They're ready to be harvested because it's part of their calling. Every restaurant they go to, the waitress is crying. Everywhere they go, it's because it's their calling. They have a gift on them for their calling. And so if you get one of those guys to come up here, he'll make you feel like a dog. It's like, well, you know what? I go out and I just, wherever I go, that God is there and people get saved. And this happens and that happens, and then you're thinking, what's wrong with me? Well, you're not called to be an evangelist, but he can go out and get people saved because he's called to. So everyone he runs into is ready to be harvested. You know, a guy like me tries that and it's a mess. You know, like, you're supposed to be crying right now. Why aren't you crying, lady? You know, why are you mad at me? So you can get an evangelist up here trying to teach you how to be evangelist, but it's not who you are. You can get a businessman come up here and say, let me share with you how God gave me $5 million in 1 year. Wouldn't you like to have $5 million in 1 year? Pay off your house, your kids' houses, your neighbor's houses, pay for the church. Wouldn't you like to be blessed like that? Well, I'm going to tell you what I did to get God to do that for me. So you can you have a number of people in the church today, in the American church, who are living under their calling and under the gifts of God and operating, trying to teach you why you're not good enough and how you should try to do it like them. But it's impossible because you're not called to be like them. You don't have the gift that they have to do what they do. But that's why we believe in the anointing of the believer, which is we are the body of Christ. Every position is just as important as the next. And your position is just as important as the preacher's position. Every place in the body is just as important. And so what happens is we have evangelists out there saying, come on, let's be the light of the world. Let's all go out right now, quit praying, quit fighting your flesh, quit dealing, just go out and touch the world. You're the body. You're saved. Let's go. We're children of God. And we run out there. And now most of you are here because you have run down some dead-end roads by listening to preachers. And then you ran out another dead-end road listening to a preacher. Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. And you keep coming to these dead ends until finally you found praying in tongues. You said, thank God for Pastor Dave to teach me about praying in tongues. Now, we don't glorify Pastor Dave. It's just the message that he brought to us that changed our life. And so, but some people haven't been down as many dead roads as you have. And so they're buying this stuff, and they're running out, and they're doing good works. But then they hit what we call a ceiling, and it's usually called the flesh. And they stop. And they live their whole life without touching the world the way God conceives that they can. And that's what he wants. See, with Gideon's army, he said to them, Gideon, you have too many people. You're outnumbered already, but I want you to tell the army, those who are afraid, go on and leave. No shame. And he let them go. See, that's why we don't pick on other churches. Because we're not going to, there's no shame in them not walking further into God. But the ones who walk further into God are the ones who usually have a little more warfare. And I want to just say this, because my battle specifically, I've been through other battles, of course. But this big one that I've been going through is a physical one. And I know the enemy has no authority to keep me here. I know I'm already healed and I'm walking through it. That's part of the reason I'm up here preaching is because I know I'm already healed and we're going to walk through this. And there's no, you know, I said last week, faith doesn't wear a watch. You can get discouraged, you know, like, I want it today, God, and it's not up to him. If it's up to him, he's already paid the price. But faith says I'm healed, I'm free, okay. That means if you're fighting with a sin that you've been falling to over and over and over again, and you're trying to get free from it, and you're just, you know you're free because you're born again, but your soul, your natural soul has been so wounded that it's a big battle, because some people have different more battles than others. You know, don't give up. Get back up and keep going, because you're already free. If you keep fighting, walking with God, you'll be able to walk free one day and express it completely. Don't get discouraged. Not everyone is born equal in this world. In heaven, we're all equal. But not everyone in this room has been born equal. All right? You all have been born to different families, different parents, different genes, different DNA. So some people have a bigger fight in their healing, starting off young, than others. You know, some people have a bigger fight in their emotions because of their family upbringing than others. So we have to be careful not to be judges of people where they're at. and allow a time, a season for people to go through stuff and keep walking. Thank God for this church. You know, I've been in places before that if I had a battle like what I'm going through, they'd have put me in the closet. They wouldn't put me up in the pulpit. And Tim's like, okay, when are you coming? When are you going to preach? When are you going to preach? I'm like, you want me to preach? When are you going to preach? You know, thank God for a place that allows you to go through your stuff. Because you believe that you're going somewhere with God that's greater than what's possible. So most of the church today is living like Old Testament saints. And Gary said something great last week. He said, you know, if the gift's on you, go use it. But don't stay in the gift. Right? There's nothing wrong with going out and doing things, but that's not where you're going to stay. Because the danger that I fell into, because I was blessed in a way to be in a microwave of all kinds of different beliefs. In other words, I saw a lot of dead-end roads quickly, and which God led me here. So much of the church today is content, because if you start living with your gifting, there you can be satisfied. I was telling someone the other day, I said, the worst thing for a girl who wants to be a mother, the worst job that she could take is to be a nanny. You know what a nanny is, right? A nanny, like for rich people, which means you go live with them, you go on trips with them, you know, you cook and clean for them. The worst thing a girl who wants to be a mama, worst job she could ever take is to be a nanny. You want to know why? Because she'll get up every day and go to play with kids, change their diapers, feed them, clean the house, take care of a family, go on trips for years and feel and fulfill that desire to be a mama. But then one day they'll go, we found a cheaper nanny, you're fired. And then all that was not hers. It was just satisfying something in her, but it wasn't really hers. And that's the danger that the new church, the American church is in, is they're running, being satisfied like they're doing their calling, but really it's not what God has intended for them fully. Because we can walk as Old Testament saints. Much of the experiences people are chasing with God's glory, they're trying to get His glory to fall from heaven. They're experiencing emotionalism, which is really how you had to experience God in the Old Testament. Because you didn't have a spirit that was alive. You had a spirit that was death. But you are born of Him. You can say amen.
Amen.
So there's a walk that God has for us. And you and I get to choose how far into God we're willing to go. And there is a part of it where you're going to face some battles. And I am battling preaching what I've been preaching the last little while and what I may preach for a while, which is going through battles, because I don't want to talk too much about it. I just want to go through it, you know. But there's a part of this walk where you have to decide, will you follow God no matter what? No matter what the price, no matter what it looks like. There's times where the Word of God is the only proof you have. This is it. I got one doctor who said, at 3 months, you're going to have all you're going to get. And then after he heard that I was preaching and starting to do things, he said, well, you might get a lot back. You never know. And I had one therapist doing her job saying to me, well, we can't, you know, we don't know how far you can recover. You know, trying, and I said, stop. I don't have anyone work for me or help me that doesn't say I can recover. So you have to decide what you're going to say. I know you're trying to do your job, but we went to go to see the doctor, my doctor, and I was in a wheelchair for the first 3 months and rolled in. And one of the nurses said, well, hey, you know, just trying to be comforting and nice, but I don't need comfort, you know. Sometimes I need a kick in the rear, not just comfort. And the nurse said, you need to put some flames on that wheelchair, you know, make it look cool. And I said, I'm not touching it. I'm getting out of this wheelchair. I'm not going to do nothing to it. I may put a tattoo flame on my arm, but I'm not going to put it on this wheelchair. I'm getting out of this wheelchair, lady. So, if you're going through a battle, then I'm preaching to you today. Because there's a place you preach from, which is kind of where the American church likes to preach from, which is the top of the mountain. I don't fight nothing. I don't fear nothing. I've beat everything that come my way. I'm rich. I'm blessed. God's glorious. You want it? Let me teach you how to get it. And the whole world is saying, yeah, I want that. I want that. Because they're getting beat up and killed in other countries. There's other countries where what you spend for your lunch with your last dollar is what they can spend for a whole month to feed their family. That your bathroom is bigger than some people's whole house. Your car is something most people will never, ever be able to obtain in the world. And so there's an American part of us that they're like, I want that. But we're not American, if I can say this. We're not a nationality of this earth. We're of another planet called heaven. And that's who we're to be an ambassador for. That's the message we're supposed to preach. And that is of salvation for the world. And whatever the enemy has to stop you. Because it's funny how the enemy's not too concerned about stopping a gospel that's mixed and mingled with flesh. But when you start going down a road and start showing and proving that you're willing to follow God places, the devil's going to try to stop you. And he'll use every trick he can, family, friends, emotions, finances, everything he'll throw at you to try to stop you. I'm going to go here first. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9. Now, I'm not a very good Greek guy. I'm a Strong's Greek. That means I just look at the word that the Strong says it means and do my best to, you know, a real Greek guy will really know what it means, but. But also, I want us to look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. And I want you to see what the Apostle Paul says. For a great and effective door has opened for me. And I'm assuming here he's talking about the Gentiles. But by getting to go preach to the Gentiles, well, we're not sure. Then he says, and there are many. Someone say the next word for me. Adversaries. And it's the same in the old King James as the New King James. But there are many adversaries. Now, I'm looking up the word many. And you know what it means? Pretty much it means many. Like lots. And adversaries means to oppose, to stop you. Here the Apostle Paul has a word from God to go do something. The door is open for me to go do something God told me to do. And there are many adversaries. And what I'm trying to add to our stand of faith is that it's this simple. Faith is not the absence of struggles. It is not the position of conqueror. Faith is not the place where you've overcome everything so much that you don't have to fight anything. The proof of faith in your life is that you believe what the Word says and what God told you, and that you're willing to walk through whatever you have to walk through to not change course. That faith doesn't have a wash. Yes, we want revival yesterday. Yes, those who are supposed to be businessmen, we want you to get rich yesterday so you can bless our ministries today. Yes, we want you healed today. Yes, we want your family back together today. Yes. But faith says, even if it doesn't look like it's going to happen, even if they say it's never going to happen, faith says they're a liar, that the word of God that he gave you is truth. So quit changing course. I'm amazed at how many people don't trust God outside of their circumstances. That as soon after things get hard, things stay the same. They change. How long will you wait for God's word to be true in your life? A week? A month? A year? 10 years? Are you willing to say, God, I don't care if it's till the day I die, I'm not changing course. Because I heard your word no matter what. That's how you stand on God's word. That's what passion is called. Passion is not called emotionalism. You know, some guy shouting and hollering, that's not passion. Passion is when someone dives in so deep to the truth of God's word that nothing is movable in their life. I don't care what you say, this is what I'm doing. I don't care if you leave me. I don't care if you abandon me. I don't care what it looks like. I have no plan B. I only have one plan, and that's the word that he gave me. That's the word of God. And I don't care what the circumstances look like. I've watched too many people, even in our camp, change groups, change camps, change course, because they can't wait any longer. And they found somebody to give them an easier path. Oh, that's easy. In your flesh. Do you understand the euphoria? The you know, like when you're a hot day and you open up a Coca-Cola, and your tongue goes, I can't wait. That's the same thing your flesh does with your emotions. The moment you say, okay, I'm going to give you some life. I'll give you a little bit of what you want. And all of a sudden you go, peace. But it's not real peace, is it? It's you buying you off. Your emotions are trying to pay you off. Your natural emotions, your natural flesh is trying to pay you off for doing its bidding for you. We have to offer you in this American church. We have to offer you nice things. Not just on this earth. See, one thing you find out about preachers when you've been around a lot of them, the way you become a preacher in the normal, which if we tried it here, if I tried some of the tricks I learned back in the old days or was taught or was trained, I would have a meeting. I'd get called in with Dave and Gary and Tim, and they'd say, can you meet with us for coffee? And I think, oh, all right, they're going to prophesy over me. And I'd get called in the room and they'd beat me up with a stick. Say, what are you doing those tricks? Because in the church today, the way you lead is to get people to follow you. That's how you lead, is I get people to follow me. So there's many tricks that the flesh uses to get people to follow them. And some of them are like great prophecies. Let me give you good prophecies. So I give you a great prophecy. Then next week, the problem is, I got to give you a little better prophecy. And then the next week, I got to give you a little better prophecy. Or a great teaching. I got to give you something really deep. Real deep. And in fact, not only did I give it to you deep, I act like it. Ooh, God's telling me something really deep. And then next week, because there's someone next door who's deep too, I got to be a little deeper. And then pretty soon we keep going deeper and deeper into who knows what, you know. And when it comes to prosperity, we got to, you know, offer you more. You know, there's a hundredfold return. You got a need, plant a seed. God will bless you back. You know, and then it gets even bigger. I've heard of a thousandfold returns preached. And not only do we have to preach to you about being rewarded great on this earth, we got to preach to you about being rewarded in heaven. You know, how many would like to have, you know, there's a guy in Brazil who's selling, you give him an offering, and he sends you a title for a plot of land in heaven that God has given him permission to, Yeah. Oh man, that's a good market right there. So I got, yeah, his plots though is over in the bad part of heaven. I got plots in the good part of heaven, you know. I mean, we got miracle water, we got, I mean, all kinds of things trying to get people to follow people. You got, and one of the things is, you know, you got rewards in heaven, you got a mansion in heaven. You've heard me preach about mansions in heaven, make fun of it before. And you know, what good is a diamond doorknob if everyone has one, you know? I'll be looking for the cows and be begging the angels to turn their heads so we can have a barbecue, you know. I told them in Brazil, because Brazil loves barbecue. I said, I don't know. I know why there's no Brazilian missionaries in India, I said. But you guys have to be careful because you may not have a place in heaven because you can't kill the cows in heaven, you know. But we're even fighting for bigger mansions in heaven. I mean, I've heard preachers say, I've seen my mansion. It's huge. You know, one guy, goes to heaven on a regular basis and meets with the Apostle Paul in his cabin. Let me read something to you. This is from the Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to start in our verse that I've been talking about. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Oh, did I do? Oh, yeah. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? So here's what we're understanding. The love of Christ is not about him loving you. Because even the worst sinner in the world, God loves him as much as he loves you. It's not about being separated. There's no separation from his love towards you. Even the men in hell, he loves them as much as he loves the people in heaven. The question is here that Paul is saying, who's going to separate us from this love of Christ? This love that he talks about here is not just an emotion. It is a product of you going into God to a place where he's all you have. Not only is he all you have, he's all you need. He's your source of provision. He's your source of self-worth. He's your source of everything, of healing, of deliverance. The enemy is so afraid of people walking in this love because it includes every bit of grace that you and I need. See, there's a pride that says, it's a power that says, I did this. And God gave me this, and I took authority. And there's a humility we need to talk into because the enemy has already been conquered by Jesus, not by us. There's a place of living in grace, which is humility, that says, you can't even say it out of your mouth. I did this. I was helping, is why I was there, but it was a businessman meeting of Christian businessmen met in Hawaii. At the Marriott in Kauai, I think it is. Beautiful, beautiful place. You went there for a week and they had millionaires teaching millionaires about why God blessed them. And of all the people who talked, all the businessmen, they talked about the things, maybe ideas that God gave them or things, but I never heard one of them say, I didn't deserve one penny. It was only because of God's grace. It was all tactics and business secrets and not different, much different than the world. And these are our Christian businessmen that, you know, give a lot to the kingdom. God bless them for it. But there's a humility that simply says, I'm nothing without him. He's all I have. I'm not blessed because of what I do or because of what I know. It's all by his grace. The only reason I'm more blessed or more prosperous or more anything is because of him. Because we in this family, what is it? We don't get what we deserve. We get what we can receive. Because it's all been paid for by Christ. So here the Apostle Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril, or the sword. So these things you might say the Apostle Paul is saying, you can expect some of these things, it's not all of them, if you're going to try to go down this walk of love. Now, who's dumb enough to try to go down this path of love? None of us are that dumb. None of us are that selfless to say, I'm going to go down this path of love and be willing to be a punching bag for the devil if that's what it takes. None of us, not one of us in this room, is that selfless. Because that kind of selflessness does not come from the flesh. It only comes from the Spirit. And when you spend time praying in tongues, the Holy Ghost begins to teach your spiritual man who you really are. And it puts in you things that you don't know are there. See, I watch people pray in tongues, and then they have victory. And they're like, oh, I made a choice of victory. That I just should have done that in the beginning. Made a choice of victory. Yay. Look what I did. I made a choice of victory. Glory to God. You know, but they don't give credit to all the time of praying tongues that helped them to get there, to overcome the thing that was stopping them. So this walk of love, again, is, I believe, a byproduct. And we are in Romans 8, by the way, of praying in tongues. Because you pray in tongues, you begin to hunger to be more like God, hunger to follow Him, hunger to be a servant that's not profitable. God, if I'm called to be a kneecap in the body of Christ, if I'm called to be a kneecap in the body of Christ, and that's all you have for me, I'm happy to do that. If all I have is to go be where I'm at today for the rest of my life, and nothing ever changes, but you don't tell me to change, I'm willing to do that for you. I'm willing to live broke in a jungle where I have to eat bugs and monkeys, if that's what you ask me to do. Because I'm your servant. I'm not here to live for myself. And so much of the gospel being preached today is mixed with living for yourself in the name of God, and then rewarding back God with things you can do for Him. But there's a humility, a powerlessness, a life where you have no rights. You don't get to choose who your teachers are. God, there's a better teacher over here. I heard him. I like him better. And he seems to be teaching better. You get to a place to where you say, God, I'm where you put me. And I don't care what it's like or who does what. Because I'm here because you put me here. We are overcomers. You can preach from a place of conquering and lead that way. Or you can preach from a place of overcoming, which is, hey, no one's more important than anyone else. We're all scrappers praying and trying to get through stuff. You know, you may not see my junk, or I may not see yours, but I know it's there. You know, but we're here to stand with you as you go through it. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? As it is written, for your sake we're killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now here's a good verse we can have on our front doors. And this is my point. I want you to listen to what I'm trying to say today. You're listening to this message because you prayed enough, or hunger led you to prayer, and you prayed enough, or God led you because He believes that you can go to a place of war, or through a place of war, of onslaught from the enemy that you won't run. And that's why you're here. That's what makes you a man and a woman of faith. Not that you have already conquered, but that you won't run. You're overcoming everything the enemy is throwing at you. And every one of us have different battles. No battle is worse than the next. Every one of us had different things to overcome, but bless God, we're overcoming. Amen? Which means we will overcome, and the enemy will not be able to find that place in you again. Once you overcome it, you overcome it. But let's keep reading about this place called love that Paul talks about. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, here's a man that's telling us that there's nothing that will separate you from that love except you. That's what God spoke to me right when I was going through my, in the hospital, laying there, being pushed around from machine to machine, red lights going off. God was speaking to me. There's peace. There was grace. And he's told me darkness has come, and this is a battle of wills. He's trying to get you to change your mind, to change your course. It's not a question of healing. I'm already healed. He's going to try to make circumstances look so bad to try to prove that everything you believe isn't working. So go find another place to build your foundation. But see, what I do believe is working. If you looked at me and my circumstances right now, you'd say, "Are you sure? Thought you're a man of faith. Isn't it working?" And maybe you feel the same. Maybe you feel the same about your life, that what you're going through, the devil's saying, "See, it's not working." But we can't let the enemy ever tell us who we are, because he's a liar anyway. But not only that, you can't let circumstances tell you the root of your faith, because they're liars too. And you can't let people get to you and tell you why your believing is wrong. Because even though they don't know it, some of them are being used by the enemy. And even though they don't know it, some of them are justifying their own flesh. Because it's much easier to say, "Oh, you just miss God," than it is to say, "Look how courageous you are. I don't have that." You could have it if you just prayed. Prayed in tongues. And because it doesn't come from me. It doesn't come from my flesh. When I say me, that's usually my flesh. Well, you know, but the real me is my spirit man. The man of the spirit who has that new nature plugged in there that brought to life my spirit man. That now I can know God. And now I can walk on this earth over the enemy like Jesus did. But the devil's going to try to tell me it's not true. But it is true. Well, how do you know that? Because the Word of God is true. It's not a bad place when all you have is him. Sometimes it's the best place. Let's get ready to read on in a minute. We have people preaching as trying to entice you into a message to keep you around. You know, a bigger mansion in heaven. Don't you like to have a bigger mansion in heaven? I can tell you right now, the Apostle Paul didn't believe in mansions. Look at his reward. He's about to tell us. Look at this love that's in this man that came from the Spirit, the same Spirit that you have, that came from the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that you have. The Holy Spirit, if you spend time praying in tongues, will help us quit living for ourselves and to believe no matter what the circumstances. We can walk through everything hell wants to throw at you. Everything. Here the Apostle Paul says this. Listen to this. I tell you the truth in Christ. I'm not lying, he says. My conscience also bearing me, witnessing the Holy Spirit. Here's an oath like no other oath you've ever heard of. I'm telling you the truth right now with everything in me. I'm telling you that I have a great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. Here the Apostle Paul is begging God, in other words, God, please, let me spend eternity in hell and let my Jewish brethren go to heaven. Forgive their ignorance and their pride and their refusal to accept Christ and just take me. That's not preaching mansions in heaven. That's a place that love will take you, that goes beyond the love that I've ever seen in any human being. A love willing to spend eternity separated from heaven, from Christ, for another person. We only heard that kind of love, haven't we, from Christ, didn't we? You can have that too. I can have that too. The flesh doesn't want nothing to do with that. The flesh is like, whoa, what are you talking about? Hey, yo. Flesh doesn't get to go to heaven anyway, so it doesn't matter. I think when we hear stories of people going to heaven and having coffee with the Apostle Paul in the big mansion, you know, or one was a cabin, I don't know what they drank, I don't know if they're tinkling glasses in the fancy mansions. I think if you want to find the Apostle Paul or Peter, or you want to find James, or you want to find some of these men, I think you have to go past the mansions and the gold roads, and you got to keep walking past all the mansions, and you find a little dirt road. You got to get on that dirt road for a little bit. And just like in America here, we have a place called, I think it's called the VA. It's where all the vets meet. You know, they meet, they drink, and tell war stories. And I think if you want to meet the Apostle Paul, because you can only get in there if you've been through war. If you want to find the Apostle Paul and have coffee with him, he was going to be in the VA, the old vet building, telling war stories with the other guys who've been through battles. That's where he's going to be. That's where you'll get to go. They'll say, you know, this is a special place in heaven. You know, the mansion place is over there. You ever get around a vet? A real vet? They're ornery. You know, guys been through war. Some of you know them. They're mouthy, usually opinionated. They don't care what you think. Because war does something to you when you survive it. You know, and they money doesn't impress them. You know, so if you want to find the Apostle Paul, you want to talk to him, you may have to have a little, you know, they'll be saying, okay, we'll see your war scars there, son. What kind of war battles you been through? That's heaven. That's part of heaven. Here's Apostle Paul saying, I'm willing to give up my citizenship in heaven. I'm willing to be separated from Christ forever. If you'll let me, please do this for me. But we know God can't do that. That's a love that you don't find. Let's look over in Philippians chapter 1. If you want to look at the New Testament like an example of how to survive battles, you'll find within it nice little scriptures that have been cherry-picked for prosperity. And how many know it's okay to believe for prosperity? We believe that God wants us blessed. But I'm saying to you, you may have to overcome some things before you get to do that. And if you don't stop, you'll overcome them. You can walk in everything God gave you. But there's a shortcut to it, which means you include the flesh. If you include the flesh, you can get it. Just like in the Old Testament. Old Testament saints. There's whole churches today celebrating God's presence. And their emotions are feeling it. And it's real. They're celebrating God's presence. And they're feeling His presence in their emotions. One guy, he believed that if you laugh, it was like praying in tongues. And he would go around and make you laugh. And they had a revival of laughing. And I remember, because I had to be a MC, which means introduce him. Many times over the years, I would introduce this man to preach to crowds of thousands of people. And he would like to get me to try to laugh. And I would try, but I couldn't do it. And in front of thousands of people, he would look at me and go, huh. And he's staring my eyes, and I was like frozen, you know. And little pockets would start laughing, and other people start laughing, and soon thousands of people rolling, laughing, and feeling an euphoria. And see, you can get your emotions to a place of happiness that feels great. But being a pastor at heart, you know, I've watched many people go through a good service like that, feel like God came and showed up, and the next day, they were exactly the same. Nothing changed. It's okay to have an emotional day, but that's not the same as a spiritual moment. The spiritual move of God is to your spirit. God speaks to you spiritual to spiritual, not to your flesh. Beware of people with strong personalities. Let me say this. Beware of people with strong personalities whose personality in the flesh, in the natural, allows them to overcome other people's personality, because they cannot lead you into the thing that God has for you. They can only talk from a place of conquering. Look at how God is using me, but really it's just a strong personality. Do you ever meet someone with a strong personality? Someone who just says, this is it, you're going to do this. They're usually the bosses, you know. They're usually the guy in charge or the girl in charge. It's amazing you have a 4'11", 100-pound, strong personality girl bossing around a 250-pound, 6'8" guy. And he's scared of her. It's amazing personalities, or vice versa, you know. Strong personality of the natural will never lead you to what God has for you. Even if you have a strong personality, you must go through the same path of birthing through your spirit, who you really are. Let's start in verse 9, Philippians 1. In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the days of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, the things that happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, and much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ. Now listen to this. Because you get to choose how far into God you go. You and I get to choose that. It has to be a willing choice that you make. Praying in the Spirit will get you to a place, and me to a place, where we're willing to go with God places we never would have gone before. Just because we're transforming into who we really are. There's no human in the natural willing to do some things God's going to ask you to do, if I can say it that way. But if you pray in the Spirit, whatever you're facing, you will overcome it. Don't be afraid of circumstances. Let me say it this way. And again, I'm preaching to those going through battles right now. As one going through a battle. If you're going through a battle, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what the circumstances say to you. You may have to go back 10 years in your prophecies to find a word to hold on to. Get it, hold on to it, believe it. If you got any words in your house, any people talking to you saying it's not going to work, it's not going to make it, get rid of them. Say, I'm sorry, I don't have friends like that. I know you're trying to comfort me, but I don't have friends, I don't have material, I don't have preachers, I don't have books. I don't have anything that says there's a shortcut. So there's one way to where God, where revival is, and that's the way God has for you. And no matter, for God, please let me go around every fight. I don't want to fight. And that's where we have to remember, he's not like a mama, a natural mama. My mama would take my place right now. She'd come and take my place. She'd do whatever. She'd live, you know, that's a mama for you. God says, I need a warrior. I need a man or a woman who's willing to face the enemy. Because the enemy's already been defeated by Christ. But what did he say to Peter? Peter, the enemy's coming to sift you like wheat. So I've canceled it. And I prayed against it. And it stopped. No. He said, I'm praying you're going to make it through it, son. But you're going to make it through it if you don't quit. See, whatever your circumstances are, I don't care how ugly. And for some of you, it may be ugly. But for some of you, it may not seem ugly to others, but it's really ugly to you. Yeah. It's ugly. You don't, just because it may seem small, don't feel weak. He's coming. Why is he coming after me? I'm just a kneecap in the body of Christ. I'm not even the preacher. Why is he coming after me? Well, if you know anything about sports, if you want to take out the fastest rugby player, you aim for his kneecap. Because if his kneecap ain't working, he ain't running very fast. So you're part of the body more than you know. And what God is working in you for the hours of praying, the thing that he's working in you, once we get past this idea that we have special preachers and everyone else, and realize we're a body, that each place is just as important, then you realize you are targeted because you're important. Your place is important, and the devil wants you to stop. He wants you to go find a shortcut to pretend that you're doing what God called you to do. But it's not what God called you to do until he tells you to do it. I'm preaching now. I gotta. So listen to this. Verse 16. The former... verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife. And some also from goodwill. So there's two. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. See, you are confronting religion when you feel like a failure when you go through a battle. Because what's been preached about failing and struggling and battling adds affliction to your chains. The apostle said, Paul says, some are preaching out of selfish ambition against me, trying to add affliction, like he deserves this. He must have failed. There's something wrong with him. That's why he's in chains. He doesn't believe. He's opened the door to the devil. There's a reason why he's in chains. Do you understand this? That religion, you don't even have to hear a man tell you. Your own brain will tell you, because religion in there will tell you you're a failure when you go through battles. Then he says this. But the latter, the ones that preach out of goodwill, they preach out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? And this is what I love about the Apostle Paul. There's a love that I have to get to. Oh my God, I don't know. I need another million years of praying in tongues. I need about 14 deliverance services. I don't know if I can ever get there. But I believe there is a place. And there's what he says. The ones who are preaching against me. He says, whether then only that in every way, whether it's in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I rejoice. Yes, I rejoice. I'm like, help us, Jesus. Don't feel weak. Some of you started out on a bad place when you found God. Your emotions were a mess. Your soul was so damaged, so broken, that when you tried to live holy, you couldn't do it. When you tried to be good, nice, you couldn't do it. And you keep falling because your emotions are such a mess. We know that, yes, the moment you're born again, your new nature has allowed you freedom. But you got that ugly old fleshly soul trying to tell you who you are. And it may take a few days, it may take a few years, it may take a few decades for you to transfer over to who Christ really made you. Because when you're born again, you're not whole. You don't get more of that new nature. That new nature goes into your spirit, man. But the nature is perfect. It's whole. It, you don't get any more love from God tomorrow than you do today. But that new nature, if you let it, will help you, your spirit man, help the real you to become like it. And that's the process that takes a little time. So don't be defeated. Don't be discouraged. Don't stop. Don't change course. Don't take a shortcut. Don't be a nanny. You want to be a mama. Because you'll regret it in the end. Let's walk through this. Amen?
Amen.
All right. God bless you. You're dismissed.